Well, as I said in Sunday school this morning, I, coming off the revival services, meditating on messages and obedience to God, this is the passage that just kept coming back to my mind as I was thinking about what my response should be to the revival services. I mentioned Sunday school. There wasn't a service that I wasn't convicted about something, that there wasn't something in there that I thought I could work on in my life. And hopefully that's the same for you, that there were times when the Holy Spirit was at work in your heart and you were prompted that I need this. I need to work on this area in my life. There's some sin or inconsistency in my life so I'm in that area of my life, I don't match up to the image of Christ. And so the passage that just kept coming back to my mind was James chapter 1. And in Sunday school, we talked about the idea of being swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. And we're going to carry on with that thought here in a few minutes. But one thing that I just didn't really have the time to go over in Sunday school, I'm going to try and add it here just really quick, is what's the answer to that? Verse 21, wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. So the reason we don't listen and hear the word of God is because there's sin in our life. I can't think of the right word. I think my wife needs to just be up here just like, honey, dude, say this. No. But it's no surprise to us that the cause of not being ready to hear the word of God would be sin. It's just sin in our lives when we're not ready to hear the word of God. Wherefore, lay apart. You know, if we react wrongly to the spoken word and there's wrath, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity, the abundance of naughtiness. And we all know what filthiness is. Dirty clothing. In fact, James uses it in a different way of dirty clothing, filthy clothing. When you get home from work and your clothes filthy, most of the time you take it off. You get it off because it's filthy. And you take a shower and you get cleaned up. And lay apart that filthiness and you put on clean clothes. You don't go and take a shower and just put back on the dirty. Well, some of you might. Let me tell you, that's not a good thing to do. Young guys, that's not a good thing to do. You know, especially if you're going to be married and stuff. Oh, there's only one young guy. You know, you come home from work, you take your shower, you lay apart that filthy clothes, you let your wife do the laundry, or maybe you'll have to do the laundry. But whatever way it goes, you know, you get that off. Same with sin, you lay it aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls. So we receive the word meekly. During the preaching time, you know what, evangelists can be kind of irritating at times. Evangelists can be really bold. Some people don't respond well to bold guys. But you know what? If it's the word of God, what do? We receive it with meekness. Even if the preacher isn't the type of preacher that we like. You know, I've gone before to maybe some type of an activity, or at Bible college, we often had a variety of speakers. And sometimes you just didn't like a certain speaker. It was like maybe they said something or did something, and you just didn't like that person for some reason. But you know what? When the Word of God was preached, you know what? I tried to tell myself, it's not about the preacher. It's about the Word of God. It's what the Word of God has to say. That's what I'm responding to, is the Word of God. So there's times when I didn't like somebody, but I had to try and tell myself, you know what? But it's the Word of God. And I am to be obedient, receive with meekness the engrafted Word. Because that's what saves, the Word of God. So this morning we're going to be looking at 22, verses 22 and on, about be doers of the word. You know, about 70% of people in the U.S. identify as Christian. That's pretty amazing, isn't it? 70% identify as Christians. That includes Catholics, though, and even JWs. Evangelical Christians come in around 25% of the population in 2014. According to a Pew poll, 39% of Catholics attend a service about once a week. 58% of evangelicals attend once a week. JWs are the most dedicated at 85% attend a service. You know, Christians should be more dedicated than JWs, shouldn't we? You know? And I'm not saying, I mean, most of you are here once a week, so I'm not saying that's you, but Christians as a whole. Mormons come in just behind 77%. 63% of those who are evangelical Christians say that they read their Bible at least once a week. 63% say they read their Bible once a week. 12% once or twice a month. 7% several times a year. And 18% seldom or never. Which percentage group are you in? You don't have to tell me. Just which percentage group are you in? Are you in the 63% that at least once a week? 12% once or twice a month? 7% several times a year? Or 18% seldom or never? Where are you? Where would you qualify? Or where would you be in those statistics? 79% say they pray daily. That tells you it's easier for people to pray than it is to read their Bible. Easier to pray than to read your Bible. You know what, though? Praying without reading your Bible is like one-way conversation. Guess who's doing who's the one way? It's you. Because if you're not reading your Bible, the Bible is the way God speaks to you. So if you only pray, it's like, God, I want to tell you what I think, but I'm not interested in what you think. So if you do, I'm not trying to talk you out of praying, but if you're praying without reading your Bible, you got it all wrong. It's like saying, God, I'm not interested in what you have to say. 49% say they meditate at least once a week, while 40% say they seldom or never meditate. These statistics show that even among those professing to be evangelical Christians, God's word is not that important. I would imagine that statistics for reading your Bible daily would be very low. If people were honest and they said, I read my Bible every day, I'm not saying people in this church, but Christians overall, the statistics, if I read my Bible every day, I think that would be really low. And I'm not saying that there's, you know, every few weeks there's a day you miss. I'm not saying that. But, you know, generally, what is your habit of life? Do you generally read the Bible every day? I think that statistic would be pretty low. 37% spend very little time in the Word of God. It's no wonder our country and our churches are in such trouble. Because even Christians aren't doing what they're supposed to. They're not obeying the Word of God. One thing certain, many professing Christians do not take the need of studying the Bible and prayer and meditating seriously. I just wonder how many percent, I would do a survey in our own church, but I even wonder how many people would fill that out super honestly about how often they read, you know. I wonder how many of the 63% who say they're in the Bible at least once a week spend more than an hour a week reading and studying. I wonder how many of us spend an hour a week studying the Word of God. Some of you I know do. Maybe most of you do. I don't know what your habit is. I would believe that the number would go way down if they were asked who spent even a half hour a day in the Word of God. I think the number of professing Christians would be really, really minimal if they spent a half hour a day in the Word of God. There is a problem in our personal lives for some of us and in our families, not to mention in our country. But there's a question they did not ask those participating in the survey. How many are hearers but not doers? How many are hearers but not doers? Verse 22 says, "But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." James quoting the Lord here when he says, "Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only." It is probable that James heard Jesus say these very words in Luke 11:28, but he said, "Yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it." Blessed are they that hear it and keep it. Contrary to popular belief of the day, blessing from God came from hearing and keeping the word of God. In Jesus' day, there were many hearers. And you see that in the times when Jesus preached to the multitudes. And how many people listened, but how many of those people actually obeyed his words? It was a really small number that actually obeyed. So the problem hasn't changed much, has it? Problem hasn't changed much. There were many that heard, but didn't listen. And that's even Jesus. We talked about this morning. You know, the Apostle Paul had his problems with people not listening or not hearing. James had his problems. Peter had his problems. But the Lord had the same problem. People hearing, but not doing the word of God. Hearing without applying is of no benefit to the one who listens. It's like when my wife tells me to take out the garbage and I don't do it. There's no profit in that. The garbage is still sitting there. The need was not for more hearers. You know, that's sometimes we think if we could just get more people. I mean, we want more people to be hearing, but often the need is not for more hearers. The need is for more doers. The need is the same today. Back then, there's need for more people to be doing what God said. The need is still the same today. What would change our personal lives? What would change our families? What would change our church? Hearers and doers. Listening and obeying. Hearing and not just leaving without letting it change your life. You know, this morning I was asking my wife, I was trying to remember the message that he spoke and all the different things that I was convicted of. But you know how easy it is to forget? Just a couple days later, and it's like, honey, help me with this. Because I can remember this one, and I can remember this one, and I can remember that. Sweet. You know, having a sweet test. That's a good way to get somebody to remember something sweet. You know, it's on the Harley. That fits just right. Well, having the sweet, right testimony. You know, the idea that our tongues, about our tongues and our speech. And, you know, there are a lot of different things that he talked about, biblical things that we need to change. But how many of us can remember all the things that we are convicted about, even now? You probably can't. Some of you can. Because you're better. There are some people better at hearing and doing. There's some people who are not so good at it. But you know, if we're going to, if that time was not just wasted time, I mean, how many of you want to say, well, those 4 days were just wasted time in my life? Well, if they're not going to be wasted time, there has to be some change in our lives. The things that we were convicted about, we need to work on those things. Because that's what doing is about. It's about hearing the word of God and saying, he's right. I have this need. And I'm going to work on it. But it's easy for all of us to just be hearers. It's a very easy habit to get into. Real change will happen when we stop being just hearers. Today, churches meet all over the country, but I fear fear history is repeating itself. There's a lot of hearers and not doers, same as in Jesus' day. And, you know, were there times, if you were here for the messages, were there times when it felt like, he knows me and he's preaching right at me. He's talking about me. Somebody told him about me. And he's preaching right at me. Well, you know what? I felt that way sitting up here. I was like, he knows me and he's preaching right at me. And it's like, I go home. Mike, were you talking? Were you preaching about me? No, I that's the same thing, because he's an evangelist. He preaches those messages. No, that's the same thing I say everywhere I go when I preach this message. That's the same thing. And it's like, boy, it sure did seem like you were targeting me. Well, you know what? Maybe it's the Holy Spirit that's targeting me because of the word that's being preached. And maybe it's the idea that there's just a lot of people, there's no sin that's taken us but such as is common to man. There's a lot of people that have those problems, and that's why he preaches those messages. Because there's a lot of people all across the country that have those same problems. And the reason that we're convicted is because there's a change that needs to take place. There's a place in our life for doing and not just hearing. The problem is, just the idea of hearing and not doing has become a way of living for Christians. We often fail. Why do we fail? Verse 22 again says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, what? Deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. Look at verse 26. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Why do we often just become hearers? Because we deceive ourselves. Being deceived, being self-deceived, is a dangerous place for a believer. It means that we have knowingly allowed ourselves to move into a wrong way of thinking about our relationship with God and His Word. We are deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're okay. Let me ask you, is there any area in your life where, no, you wouldn't know it because you're deceived. It takes the Word of God to point that out to you. And what happens often when the Word of God points something out to us that we're deceived about, we just like, no, that's not me. Or I really don't have that problem. Or I'm not going to hear it. It's seeing ourselves as right with God in areas where that's far from the truth. Do you think that could happen in your heart and in your life? That there are areas of your life that you see yourself as right with God, but it's not true. Seeing yourself as right with God, but it's not true. That's what being self-deceived is. Deceiving your own selves. I don't want a raise of hands, but how many of you think that in some area you're guilty of this? All of us are. If you don't think you are, you're probably in the worst case of denial. If you don't think there's some area of your life where you're just deceiving yourself into believing the way, whatever you're involved in, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're doing, and you just don't ever stop and try and change that. You don't ever hear the Word of God, and you don't, whether it was what he talked about, the tongue, he talked about having the right attitude. Now I'm drawing a blank on those things, but all the things he talked about, if we don't work on those things when we heard them, we're just deceiving ourselves. We go on in our life as if everything's okay in my Christian walk. But to not deal with it is deceiving yourself. Think about it. How many of us are deceiving ourselves? when we don't deal with the very thing that the word points out. James says, let every man be swift to hear, verse 19. There is something for all of us to hear in the Word of God, and there are areas where we do not see our sin as clearly as we should. There are areas where we do not see our sin as clear as we should in our lives. You know, the hard part is, for those of us who have been in church many years, it's not because we haven't heard it. Right? I mean, I look across here and I think most of the people here have been in church for years. You've heard most of the major messages. You've heard most of the themes. Why aren't we living the way the Scripture tells us? Because in certain areas of life, we're just not doers. We deceive ourselves into thinking that I'm okay. We've heard the sermons, but have ignored the message. I'd have to believe that goes on every Sunday in our churches. Not just this church, every church. It was happening to those who had been under the preaching for years. You know, if we had all obeyed every message that we'd ever heard, we'd be like Mary Poppins, wouldn't we? How would we be like Mary Poppins? Practically perfect in every way, right? I mean, if we would just obey the Word of God, we'd just be like Christ. And we all are guilty of this. The reason I'm speaking this is I'm just encouraging you. I want to encourage you. I'm not trying to put you down. I'm in the same boat. I'm in the same ship that you're in. There's areas of my life that I should be far more mature than I am right now. I'm sure you could look at areas of your life and say, I wish I was more mature in this area. It's not going to happen until we start doing what we know already. We already know a lot of truths. But because of our sin, we just don't do it. Because we like to deceive ourselves, we just don't do it. We don't obey. Satan is the great deceiver, but it's not Satan that is said here to be the deceiver. Who is? Our own hearts. We deceive ourselves. We don't, you know, that sounds bad, doesn't it? That we deceive ourselves. You don't like to be deceived. How many of you like somebody to lie to you? You know, we don't like liars, right? Even though we've all lied. We don't like liars, and we don't like people who lie to us. We should really be disgusted with ourselves. Because when we hear the word and we don't obey it and do it, we're just lying to ourselves. The Pharisees were self-deceived. What were some of the characteristics of the Pharisees? They often listened to Jesus not to learn but to attack. They were the opposite of being swift to hear. They often spoke evil about Jesus. They were quick to spread their speak their mind. They would often argue with Jesus while he was teaching the crowds. They would get angry over Jesus' message. Many times their first reaction was to get angry because Jesus' teaching was contrary to what they had believed. You know, there's times, though, when you can change your mind about something you've believed for a long time. I remember at my ordination council, I don't know where I got this idea or who I read or what teacher I had, but there is the belief of open or closed communion. Open communion is anybody who comes in who believes they're a Christian can partake of communion. That's what we practice. Somewhere I had been taught or read or whatever about closed communion. And that is where somebody who comes in can be denied communion based upon, I don't think they're good enough and I'm not going to give them communion. That's closed communion. And I'd somehow gotten that view in my head. And I, at my ordination council, I was challenged on that. And I was like, and they brought verses to me right off. And I was like, you're right. I'm wrong. I had a belief that somebody had taught me. I don't remember where I even got it. Somebody had taught that to me. That's what I believed. But when I was confronted with Scripture, Scripture says, let a man examine himself, and so let him eat. And so it's like, oh, I'm wrong. You know, I could have got my back up and been all proud and said, no, this is what it is and this is where. But you know what? Scripture proved me wrong. And I had to say, you're right, I'm wrong in that area. I'll change my belief. Confronted with the Scripture, we should be willing to change, even if it's something that's long-held belief. Because this, what the Scripture says. What are some reasons we are self-deceived? We're unwilling to see our own faults. We are deceived into thinking that we are better than we are. We easily see the faults of others and rarely see our own faults. Why are we easily deceived when we leave church week after week and see no need of change? What does that say about us? We don't see ourselves as sinners who need a Savior. Let me say, ask you, how many weeks or months or even years has it been since you came to church? You heard the preaching. You saw there was a need. And you took action to change that. You took not even just coming down to the aisle, not just, but you took long-term action to change that in your life. How long has that been? You saw a need, and you took long-term action to change. Doers see that they identify the need through the preaching of the word, and they change. Not just maybe change, stop doing something, but start doing something. We've been talking a lot about witnessing. Okay, I'm not witnessing. Mike talked about that. I'm not witnessing. The word says I should be witnessing. What am I doing to change that? Am I carrying tracts to give a tract to somebody? Am I trying to build relationships with people so that I can talk to somebody? See, because if we're not starting to try and really be a witness, and we're not, what are we? If you're not witnessing at all, and you're not trying to witness at all, what does the word say you are? Deceived. You're deceived. You're deceiving yourself into believing that you are right with God when you're not. I don't want any of us to be deceived. But we are. I am. You are. Because there's areas in all of our lives that we just don't obey. We know it. We just don't do it. What does that do? It grieves God. Aren't you glad that God is a loving, forgiving, merciful, long-suffering God? I'll tell you what, if God was like many of us, I would have been zapped long ago. Because he'd just be like, you know, I've given that guy years to start doing, and he's still not doing. God would just be like, bzz, you're done. Let's go find somebody else. Oh, bzz, they're done. Bzz, bzz. You know, but God is so loving and long-suffering, but why would we take advantage of that grace over and over again because we just are deceiving ourselves and not obeying. God is so gracious and kind. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. It's an easy illustration. A man goes, or a woman goes, and looks in the mirror. You know, most of you look like you looked in the mirror this morning. Most of you look like you tried to make yourself presentable. The ladies, how many of you ladies spent more time in front of the mirror than your husband? Most ladies do. Now, there's some guys that are primpers. Don't admit it, Garrett. Don't admit it. You know, some guys are primpers. They like to, you know, spend time, and I'll confess something to you. Nick was a primper or prepper or whatever you want to call him. You know, he spent time in front of the mirror getting to make sure his hair was right and all that kind of stuff. But what happens when you get in front of, in fact, I'm glad my wife spends more time in front of the mirror than I do. I mean, I like my wife to look nice. The idea, though, is the only reason to look in the mirror is to reveal a need for change and do something about it. Most times when you go and look in the mirror, if you got a smudge of, you've been out working, you got a smudge of dirt on your face, or you're going to church and your hair's sticking straight up, most of you ladies are not going to just go, oh, well, I'm just going to go to church. My hair's sticking straight up. I slept on it last night, and I don't want to wash it, and it's just sticking straight up like this. Now, some people, actually, that's their hairdo, but you know, most of you ladies are not going to go. In fact, you husbands are going to say, honey, go back and look in the mirror. Your hair's out of place. Go take care of that. I mean, I'm sure Jeff gets that all the time. You know, your hair's out of place. Go fix it. What kind of, you know, that's not even a Michigan, Wisconsin. I mean, a Michigan, who's that? I can't remember who that other state is. But you know, you go to fix something. Why go to church if you're not going to respond to the Word of God? We look in the mirror for a reason. We go to church and hear the message for a reason. It's just as foolish to go to church and never respond to what the Word has to say to us as to go look in the mirror and just turn away. It's just as foolish. How often are we foolish? I mean, this is God's Word. The problem is that happens every Sunday in churches all across the world. People go to services, hear the Word of God proclaimed, the Word reveals the need in their lives, they get up out of their seats and go to the door, and immediately they forget that need. I think all of us are guilty, aren't we? But how often are we guilty of that? How long has it been since you took a deep look in the mirror of the Word of God and said, Lord, I got a great need, and I need you to help me to change that? But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Let me ask you, do you want God's blessing upon your life? It'll only come when we hear the need, respond to the need, and take steps to change, to become more Christ-like. I know what some of you are going to do. You're going to leave today. You're going to go to eat. And if I asked you tonight what the message was about, you'd say, I don't remember. Maybe you would. Maybe all of you would remember. But what about next Wednesday? What about next Sunday? You know how you will remember what this message is about? Identify a need in your life, either through the revival services or through the service today, something that God has pointed out to you. Identify a need. If you have a pen, write it down. Go home and write it down. Lord, and during revival messages, you pointed out that I'm bitter. You pointed out that I don't have a sweet spirit. You pointed out that my tongue gets away from me. You pointed out that Mike sat on a nice Harley and I wanted one just like that all my life and now I'm not content. Whatever it is that God pointed out in your life during these times, go home, write it down. Look up two verses that deal with that in the Scripture. And then every day in your prayer time in the morning, because you all get up in the morning, you read your Bibles and you pray. Or you might do it at night. Some people just can't do it in the morning. They do it at night. But in your Bible time, in your prayer time, you say, God, this is what I've... And you know, you might have more than one. You might have more than one thing that God pointed out. You can do more than one. But take those two verses and every day say, read those verses, memorize them, think about them throughout the day and say, God, help me today to change. Help me today, Lord, I don't just want to be a hearer. I don't want to be deceived. I want your blessing on my life. Ask God every day to help you with that. And how long do you need to do that for? If you're like me, maybe for years. Because guess what? We might have the same problems that plague us our whole life and we keep working on them, but we're never perfect. And there's certain things that I just ask God, help me on an everyday basis with these things. Help me not to get grumpy. Any of you here ever grumpy? Some of you are never grumpy. Wow, that's pretty good. Jeff's never grumpy either, right? See, Jeff and me, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, tend to be grumpy at times. My wife, not so much. So she's going to have a different thing that she needs to pray about than I do. My tendency would be to get grumpy. She's like, honey, why are you grumpy? God is so good. He loves us. There's so many blessings that we have. So each one of us needs a different list. Each one of us may need different verses. I would like to encourage each person here today to make that list. If you want to be, and I'm not saying you might have some other way, you're already involved in doing it. I'm not saying if you don't do that, you're not a doer, because you might already have a plan in place. But if you don't have any plan in place to change, to be more of a doer, make the list. Write down the verses. Ask God daily to help you with that. You know what? And we're going to see that in respectable sins, but it doesn't... It sometimes gets harder before it gets easier. Because guess who doesn't want you to have victory? Well, your own flesh and Satan. Lord, I pray that you'd help us. We all need help in this area because all of us tend to hear something from the Word of God and we tend to just go away and forget about it. Lord, and I don't want us to be that way. I don't want to be that way. I know I am in certain areas of my life. I ask that you would help people in the congregation to make the list. I pray that for victory over sins. I pray for better marriage relationships. I pray for us to be better witnesses. I pray for better family relationships. I pray for better church relationships. Lord, and all those things are possible if we will all commit to being doers. That we would all commit to picking an area and saying, God, I want victory in this area in my life. Help me today. Lord, I pray for victory for those who are making decisions right now. There are those who truly want to have victory in some area of their life. I pray for victory. Before the piano plays, every head bowed, every eye closed, I just want to ask a question. If you are out there and you want me to just pray for you, I'm not going to pray for you out loud, but by name, but if you want prayer, just say, Pastor, I'm going to make this commitment. Pray that I will follow through. Just raise your hand. I'll pray for you. Pastor, I want to make this commitment. I want to thank you. Thank you. Pastor, I know I have needs in my life, and there's things that I've just been a hearer. Anybody else? Before we sing, anybody else? Pastor, I've just been a hearer. Father, I ask that you would help all these who have raised their hand and those, Lord, maybe some who didn't, who are still burdened for this. I ask that you would help them to be obedient to you. Ask that they would continually work on this, that they would take the time to pray for your help, look up the verses, and strive to do what you've asked them to do. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.